Happy New Year. Glad you guys showed up. Are you guys okay? It's just quiet. That was Christmas 2024, a year ago. When you looked up there, how many of you saw changes in your life? Anybody? Anything change? Some of y'all got married. Some of y'all got divorced. Those are both good things. It's your journey. Never know where God's taking you. Some of you got taller. Those of us who are older got shorter. Some of us got rounder. Some of us got skinnier. I lost 30 pounds this year. I would give credit to where it's due. My son lost over 100 pounds. I looked at him. Yeah, give him credit. Yeah. I looked at him in February of last year, and I said, what are you doing? Because I need to do it. And so he's using an app and tracking what he's doing. And here's how it works. Starve and walk. That's pretty much it. I walked 10 miles yesterday. Somebody misunderstood me. They said, you walk 10 miles in a week? No, I walked 10 miles yesterday. I hate it. Hey, any gym rats here? Y'all love to go to the gym? Anybody in here loves to go to the gym?
Yeah.
When does that start? Like, Kelly and I have been going to the gym for like 4 years now, 5 years now, and we get up every day and go, let's go to the gym. Is it fun yet? No, it's not fun. I don't know when that comes, but it's working. So God's not done with you. What happened this last year in your life where you can see God at work? Because I'm telling you, God, if you're connected here, if you're part of a team, if you serve, if you are in a group, you get a little, well, mostly every week. I've missed 2 weeks now. But you get a little investment piece that God's talking to me. And when I'm walking on 58, he's constantly saying something. And I believe God is talking to us every day of our life. It's whether we're listening or not. And for me, I've been on this journey of really trying to figure out who I am and who God is for 20 plus years now, where I'm really not just going to church. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we just kind of go through the motions, don't we? It's Sunday, we got to go to church. I'm not picking on it. I did it for years. I'm not picking on it. That's just part of our journey. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the journey that God has us on, the journey that God is willing to walk with us through, and it's just part of it. Well, about a little over 20 years ago, Romans 12, 1 and 2 became my life verse for the last 20 years. My paraphrase is this, God will change you by changing the way you think. That's just my paraphrase of those two verses. I ran across it in the message a few weeks ago, and I actually posted it on Facebook because the message really brings it to life, and I want to try to read it out of that. Before I go there, I want to do something else. Everybody get your phone. Not everybody saw their picture up there. I can't help that. But I want you to get out your phone because I know you all got them, and don't lie to me. Turn it off on selfie mode, and I want you to take a picture of yourself. Just take a picture. So if you don't have one, get in a picture with somebody else. Photobomb them. Now, I want you to look at that picture you just took, and I want you to say to yourself, God's proud of me. I want you to say to yourself, I'm proud of me. Because God's proud of you no matter where you're at on this journey. God sees you. He knows you. He understands you. He actually understands more about you than you actually think or know. Somebody the other day saw a picture of themselves, and they immediately began to say something negative. And I've been working with this person for 3 years now, at least, longer than that, but 3 years where I'm really working with them. And I stopped them. I said, nope, not doing that. I want you to look back at that picture. I want you to tell me three things that are good about yourself. And they immediately rattled off three things, and my heart swelled with pride, good pride. You do know there's a good thing such as good pride, right? It's not anything that I've done. It's not anything that they've done. It's what God is doing. Because they immediately snapped out three things that were good about themselves. 3 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to tell you one thing about themselves that was good. When you looked at yourself in that picture this morning, if you did what we said, or you saw yourself up there, what did you think when you saw? That's a worthless person. There ain't nothing good about that person. They can't do anything. I was sitting back there. I'm like, sit down. I can't see over you. What do you see when you look at the picture? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see what God sees, or do you see what the world has taught you to see? There's a huge difference in those things. God will change you by changing the way you think. You've been taught through this world how to think, and God's going to change you. Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message version says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, just the life that you live. Just get up in the morning. Take your sleeping. Take your eating. Take your going to work. And take your walking around life and place it before God as an offering. So when you get up in the morning, you sit down to eat, thank you, God, for the food that I have. When you get out of there, thank you, God, for the job I have. When you get out of there, thank you, God, for the people that I get to work with. Thank you, God, for the places that you take me. Thank you, God. You just give everything in your life as an offering to God, and you do it intentionally, and you do it focusedly, and you do it every single day. And I'm telling you, you're going to change the way you think. That's how it works. Or you can get up every day and go, it's just another day. Eating the same old thing again, eggs and bacon, eggs and sausage, grits. Who started that? Why would you eat something called a grit? That I can't get over that one. Or oatmeal. How many of you grew up eating oatmeal and you could stick a fork in it and it would just stand there? Like, no, I can't do that kind of stuff. But you see, we get up and we just kind of go through the motions. How many of you just kind of go through the motions of life week after? It's just another week. Can't wait for Friday to get here. It's Monday. Oh, can't wait for Friday to get here. It's Monday. Can't wait for Friday. We just go through the motions. And Paul tells us, stop doing that, but live your life for Jesus. He says this, it goes on in the message. He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you'll ever do for him. When God gives you trials and struggles and tribulations, it broke my heart this morning. Came in and a grandfather came to me. And he said, I'm not good. And I knew it wasn't going to be good. He said, I lost my grandson. And I thought he was talking about the grandson he went to lunch with every day over here at school. He's talking about a newborn. Twin. It broke my heart. And I just cried with him. What do you say? What do you do? Well, you give it to God. Because we may not ever understand it. We may not agree with it. But we still worship God. And God's got a plan, and we may not know what that plan is. Somebody asked me after that service, what can I do? I said, they're not even in this area. He's grieving and can't even be with his daughter. There's just so much that goes on. We've probably lost 6 or 7 people since the week before Christmas within this congregation. And it's just, it's grieving. But here's what you do. You get up every day and you give your life to Jesus. You want to know why? Because right after that, somebody walked up and handed me Johnny. If you don't know who Johnny is, come to the first service, because I hold this little baby every week. And I look at Johnny, and no matter what kind of day or what kind of week, what kind of month I have, I see life and I see new life, and I hold that baby, and I know that God is on his throne, and I know that there's better days coming. That's what God does. You get up every day, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, and you worship God. You just worship. You give him your every day. Because you know, no matter what comes, giving it to God is the best thing you can do. He says this, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's how we live our lives, is we get into this place where we're going through a process, and we're going to see this in a minute, but we go through a process, and in the beginning of the process, we don't even know what's going on a lot of times. We're just living our life. God's constantly talking. I believe God's constantly talking to us every single day. I believe God's talking to you right now, right where you sit. I believe God, through the power of Holy Spirit, is speaking into your life, and he wants you to hear him, and he wants you to respond to him, but he is so gracious and so merciful, he's willing to walk at your pace, even if you're not willing to walk at all. I just believe that. Because God's got a better plan than anything we could ever think or imagine. God knows where he wants you to go. This morning, as we begin a new year, I want us to realize changing the way we think and changing the way we live is it's not an easy adventure, but it's something that you'll never regret. Deep within you, there's a seed that God planted. Before you were ever born, he planted a seed in each and every one of us. And that seed is the product of who he wants us to be. It is who he created us to be and what he created us to do. But you'll never do what he wanted you to do if you don't understand who you're supposed to be. And so you can shield him. You can prevent that seed from flourishing. You can prevent that seed from germinating. You can prevent that seed from actually doing anything other than just residing in your life. And you say, but he's God. Yeah, but you have free will. You get to make that choice. This morning on a phone call, somebody said, you don't have to be the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can't be the Holy Spirit. You can't be the person that flips the switch in somebody's life. Only Holy Spirit can do that. You can't be the person that causes change in somebody's life. You can only change yourself. But Holy Spirit can use a lot of people. I'm going to talk to married people. I'm going to talk to men right now. How many men in here, your wives have said something? Yeah, I don't need to do that. Your wives have said something? I don't need to do that. Your wives have said something? I don't need to do that. Joe Blow says, hey, you ought to try this? That's a great idea. And all the wives poke the husbands. If Kelly come up here and punch me, because she's very good at planting these seeds, and when I tell her somebody else said something, she's really good at not going, hey, I told you that. But she just says, you know, that's a great idea. But how many times do we go through life and we hear the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and we just ignore it, we just ignore it, we just ignore it, and all of a sudden somebody says it, and it resonates within us. That's Holy Spirit. Now, isn't it great that we serve a God who's willing to do that with us? As stupid and dumb as we are and dumb choices we make over and over and over, that God's just willing to walk with us in this process? Let me ask you a question. Do you think God can use you? Do you think God can use you? I'm going to say some names. If I said the name Shipra or Pua, would you know who that is? I don't even know how to pronounce those names. If I said the name Moses, would you know who that is? You know Moses wouldn't be here without Shipra and Pua? They were the midwives that told Pharaoh to suck it. When Pharaoh told them to kill all the baby boys, they're like, mm-mm, not doing that. And because they refused to obey him but obey God, guess who was born? Moses. What about this one? If I said the name Jehosheba, you know who that is? What about Joash? You might know that one. Maybe not. What if I said David? You know who David is? What about Jesus? You know who Jesus is? You know the Davidic line between David and Jesus wouldn't have happened if Jehoshaphat hadn't saved Joash? Joash was a baby, a little boy, whose father was the king, whose father was killed, and they were coming after him. And Jehoshaphat said, I got to save Joash. But we don't know their names. They're just people in the Bible. We don't pay any attention to them. What about this one? Maybe that's all the Old Testament. You didn't know them people. How about this one? If I said Epaphras, it's in Colossians 4:12 up there. You know who Epaphras is? Paul thought highly of him. Anybody know who he is? Maybe me neither. Here's what it says. Epaphras was an intercessor whose prayers held the churches together. You know you sit here today because of Epaphras? Yeah, we don't even know his name. We know Paul. I use those names, those examples, and there's far, far more than that in the Bible. We just skip over them, but God used them to do something, maybe not directly in their life, but through their life to bring us somebody else. So who are you to know that you're not bringing the next Moses into being? That you're not bringing the next David into being? That you're not ushering Jesus into somebody's life. I'd love to tell you all kinds of stuff that just from this morning, but I can't do that. I'm telling you, God is at work here at Essential Church, and God is going to use you in this process. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at on this journey, God has a place for you this morning. I'm going to use a very familiar name, Gideon, Judges 6 and 7, to show us a process, because we have all these no-name people or these little-name people, and I don't mean that negatively, just people that don't have a big role in the Bible but have a big impact. He uses them, but we don't see the process of how they believed God. We have to go to somebody that's bigger than that in the Bible so we can understand how the process works. And Gideon is a perfect example. You can find this throughout any of the big name people, Abraham, Moses, any of them. You're going to see the same process in their life. Here's the amazing thing for me. God is willing to walk at our pace and show us a better way, no matter what our pace is, no matter where you're at. No matter where you were in 2024, no matter what happened in 2025, God's willing to walk with you. I just talked to a young man this morning. He don't even know if God exists, but he's here. And I looked at him and I said, do you know God's already talking to you? You don't recognize his voice. I'm just waiting for the moment where he looks and goes, I know who Jesus is. Because if you've experienced that, there is nothing greater in this life. Let's get to Gideon, because I don't have much time. Gideon is just a young man. You know what a wine press is? Yeah, we don't use those today. Just think of this as a wine press. This is a walled, secured area. You would put grapes in there, and you'd go in and stomp them down, and it's got high walls and all kinds of stuff. And Gideon lived in a time where the Israelites had done stupid stuff, and God had brought the Midianites into their life to persecute them. And the Midianites hated them so bad that they would just destroy the crops so the Jewish people couldn't even eat. How much do you have to hate somebody to destroy food just so they can't eat? I mean, I give you a picture of who these people, they would just come in and burn down the crops. They didn't even take the crops. They just burn them down so the Israelites couldn't even eat. So Gideon has got some wheat that he's picked, and he's inside his wine press, and wheat, there's a paper piece on the outside. You got to break it, and you got to throw it up in the wind, and the wind will take the paper piece away, and the grain drops to the ground. And so you need a windy spot to do that in. But you can't do that, because as soon as the Midianites see that, they're going to come and raid you and just burn it up. And so he's inside a wine press, and he's throwing this up, and I got to just think, how stupid could this be? Like, you throw it up, and it all comes back down. You throw it up, and it all comes back. You're not making any progress. You ever been in your life and you're just not making progress? So he's inside this wine press, and the angel of the Lord, Jesus in the Old Testament, he comes and he sits down by the wine press. When's the last time you acknowledged the presence of God in your life? That Jesus come and just sat down with you. Holy Spirit just come and said, I believe he's speaking to us every single day. And I try to acknowledge his presence every single day. That he just wants to speak to us. In fact, Ron Jones does a phone call every morning. Just help us to talk to our best friend. And we just hear from God. And I go walk and I hear from God. And I just try to acknowledge the fact that he's present. And so the angel sits out there and angel looks up at Gideon. You just got to picture this. And I'm a sarcastic guy, so I see the sarcasm in this. And God looks at him. Jesus looks at him and says, hey, mighty warrior, what would you picture a mighty warrior like? Some guy hiding in a wine press, throwing a little wheat up in the air. I mean, is that a mighty warrior to you? That's what we do. When's the last time God called you something, told you who you were, and you just made a sarcastic comment about it? Like when I was 15 and God said, you're going to be on that stage one day, I said, I can't tell you exactly what I said, but that ain't never happening. I'm sitting in church and this is the thought that comes from my mind. But we always have something to say. But God is the one who's going to tell you who you are. Nobody else. The world's going to tell you who they think you are. And they're going to lead you down astray. But God's going to tell you who you are. And God called him a mighty warrior. And Gideon just ignores it. Gideon's response is, if God is with us, if you're really with us, then why is all this happening? You ever said that? That grandfather this morning. He didn't say that, but I know he's thinking it because I was thinking it. God, why would you take this baby's life? Why would you let this little baby go to sleep and have a massive heart attack? Why would you do that, God? Anybody with me? There's so much more life. We just ignore what God is saying. We just respond out of the pain and out of the misery. That's just where we are on the journey. I'm not picking on anybody. It's just what it is. But so many times we just completely ignore what God has said and insert what we want. And the angel again it's not sarcasm, but it is, because there's some truth in it. The angel comes back and says, mighty warrior, if you can do something, just go in your own strength and do it. How many of you tried that before? God tells you to go to Nineveh, and you're just like, nope, I'm going the other way. Get swallowed by a fish. Moses, you're going to lead these people. All right, I'm going to kill somebody. All right, go spend 40 years in the desert. Anybody with me? We've been in these desert times. We've been in these fish moments where God has said something. We've ignored it. God says it again, and we go in our own strength, and we suffer. You can't pray your way out of something you behave yourself into. Just reality. And yet, I'm not picking on us. It's just part of our journey. It's part of our learning. It's part of the process. Gideon, the angel says at the end of that, he says, I'm with you. Go in your own strength, but I'm with you. And Gideon says, I am the least in my clan. I'm the least in my family. He can come up with all kinds of excuses why you can't do it. How many times you told God what you can't do? How many times you tell God that this isn't going to happen? This is not possible. This is, you just excuse after excuse after excuse why you won't respond to God. Anybody with me? Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel, God is not a God of guilt and shame. This is just a part of the process that you're going to go through to realize who God is. Moses killed a man, spent 40 years in a desert, saw a burning bush, and was dumb enough to run to the bush. I mean, think about that. You see a bush on fire, but it's not being consumed. What are you going to do? Well, let me go see what this is. I don't think so. I probably would. Sorry. Just reality. I probably would. But all of this is out of doubt. All of this is out of fear. All of this is out of just allowing the world to bombard us. It's, I'm not worthy. Whatever it is in your life, whatever the fear that dominates your life, that's what's dominating your thought process. And God's willing to walk with you and show you a better way. We see this with Gideon. Gideon struggles with what God has said and who God said he was. How many of you struggle with that? Just be honest. How many of you have ever listened long enough to let God tell you who you are? A lot of us just struggle with that. Whatever you say, God, I'm not worthy of, so I don't want to hear you. We're somewhere in this journey. You follow me? Somewhere in this journey. And the angel looks back at him. This is the part that blows me away. Angel looks back at him. After all this, and he goes, hey, man, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. At what point in your life did you hear that? I can tell you when I heard it. Kelly's leg broke. When I realized it was broke, like it went the wrong way, like I'm gonna puke on you. I'm not joking. And God said, what else am I going to have to do? You know what I said? Not a thing. You got my attention. You know when I wish it when I'd heard it? It was 2 years before. But you know what? He knew I wasn't ready, and he was willing to walk with me to that process. He's willing to walk with you. I will be with you. And Gideon said, all right, if you're going to be with me, I need a sign. You stay here, angel. You stay here. I'm going to go prepare a meal, and I'm going to bring it back to you. Now, going to prepare a meal in those days wasn't going in and pushing a button in the microwave and come back in a minute. He had to go actually slaughter an animal, dress the animal, prepare the animal, bring it back. So this is time. He brings it back. He lays it out, and the angel says, put it on that rock right there. So he puts the meat on the rock, he puts the unleavened bread on the rock, and he says, all right, now pour the broth over the top of it. He does all that, and the angel takes the staff that's in his hand, he touches the rock, and fire comes out of the rock and consumes it. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here that I don't have time to cover. But at that moment, Gideon knew he was in the presence of God. He knew that that is God, and the angel disappeared immediately. But he wasn't done talking. Gideon took that rock and he built an altar. So you have the rock as an altar. He builds an altar and he worships God. And he says, this is a place of peace. that night, the angel comes back to Gideon, I'm guessing in a dream, and says, I need you to tear down the Asherah pole. I need you to tear down this other false god, this Baal god altar. I need you to tear all that down. I need you to build a proper altar. I need you to sacrifice properly on this altar, and I need you to do it now. Instead of doing it in daylight, Gideon's still fearful. He does it at night. God still blesses it. God spares his life when they come after him. God says, all right, now I need you to go kill the Midianites, all of them. Now remember, you're a mighty warrior. He's hiding in a wine press. You want me to be a warrior? I can't even thresh wheat. I can't even go out on the mountainside and throw it up in the air. You want me to go kill people? What's wrong with you? You ever been there? God tells you to do something, you're like, I can't do that. I didn't come to Jesus till I was 60. So what? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Well, I've been playing around for 40. So what? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? See, God loves you regardless of where you're at, regardless of where you're on the journey. He's willing to walk with you in this process. He's not giving up on you. We shouldn't give up on each other. God has a plan. Gideon. God says, all right, you're going to kill all the Midianites. Gideon says, I need another sign, God. How many of you have ever asked God for a sign? I don't have a quarter on me. Anybody ever took a coin out, flipped it? God, if it lands on heads? Anybody ever, when we had paper Bibles, God, just, I'm going to open this up. You're going to show me a scripture, and that's what you want me to do. Anybody done that? You know, now you do it with your phone. All right, God, I'm going to play Russian roulette with the Bible. I'm just going to flip through here, whatever stops us. That's the verse you want. Come on, man. That's just where we're at. And here's the crazy thing. God says, I'll honor that if you're serious. Gideon, he takes, we don't know what this is, sheepskin. Got all the fur on it, been tanned, fleece, right? He takes that, he goes over to the wine, he can't even go out yet. He's still hiding in the wine press. He goes over to the wine press and he takes this fleece and he throws it on the ground. God, I need a sign. If you'll make that fleece wet from the dew, but the ground around it dry, I'll trust you. You know what God does? He's got so much dew in that fleece, he's got to wring it out in the morning, and the ground in the wine press is completely dry. You think that'd be enough, right? Nope. All right, God, one more sign. God, one more sign. I'm going to throw that fleece in there again. Tonight, you make that fleece dry, and you make that ground wet. God said, okay, I honor you. Puddles on the floor. Picks up that fleece, can't wring a drip out of it. God says, all right. Chapter 7, put an army together. You got 32,000 people? That's too many. Take 22,000 of them away. Got 10,000? That's too many. You'll still take credit for this. 300 people. All right, Gideon, now you're ready for war. 300 men against entire armies of people. Armies of people. All right, Gideon, I know you're still scared. This is God. Gideon has asked for a sign. Gideon has asked for a sign. Gideon has asked for a sign. He is still scared. Wouldn't you be scared? Thousands of people. I got 300. What's wrong with you, God? All right, Gideon, while they're sleeping tonight, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you a sign. While they're sleeping, I want you to go down into their camp. You want me to do what? I want you to go down in their camp. And while you're in the camp, I'm going to speak to you through one of them. Gideon, while they're sleeping, goes down to camp. Walks into the camp. They don't even know he's there. One of them down there, one of those guys down there, tomorrow we die. Their God is greater than ours, and tomorrow we die. That's who our God is. You want reassurance? He'll give it to you. He'll walk you through it. Over and over and over and over and over until you get it. Because here's what happens. Beginning of chapter 6. Hail, mighty warrior. Screw you. See, I'm not supposed to talk like that. Sorry. But isn't that what we say? God says something. We're like, no. That ain't happening. I don't believe you. God takes us through the process. Through the entire process. And he's not done. You get at it again. They're going to kill us tomorrow. You know what Gideon does? He goes back to his army. He says, get up. Today we ride. And today we kill them all. What did God call him in chapter 6? mighty warrior. What is he in chapter 7? Mighty warrior. Where were you at in 24? What happened in 25? What's going to happen in 26? Who has God called you to be? Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. God, I thank you for the process. It blows me away how patient you are. And yet I know that you'll walk at my pace. God, it bothers me so much to walk at other people's pace. And I know you're working on that with me. And so, Father, just help us today to know that you're still working on us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.